I think that's kind of the key takeaway, that it's not always about speed. It's also about how you do it and what you do during your journey. Yeah, so that's good for as a human, but also from leadership and from running a company. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Because it really caters for the basic needs we all humans have, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And competition might be one aspect, but there are also other aspects.
It is, yeah. Many of them. And I think you get that, truly. You're also off the grid, so no connection. It's a white spot, so you're not even connected. You cannot check anything for a couple of days. So you're out of connection, which is also rare in the world today, but it's kind of relieving in many ways. It's just you and nature and friends.
Welcome to New Horizons, the Globetrotter podcast on sustainability in the outdoor industry. Today, we are excited to speak with Martin Axelhead, CEO of Fjällräven and the Vice President of Phoenix Outdoor. Martin has been on my interview wish list for a long time. And now, at the beginning of the summer, we are especially curious to learn more about the famous Fjällräven Classic Series, the multi-day hiking events organized by Fjällräven all over the world, including a polar experience. So if you are thinking about participating at one of those dream locations, then stay tuned, as we hope that Martin will share some insights about this event series, but also, of course, on Fjällräven's heritage and the brand's commitment to sustainability. Martin, welcome to New Horizons podcast.
Thank you very much. And I am, of course, thrilled and also honored to be part of this podcast finally.
Martin, you have a long history with the company, starting as a Fjällräven employee already in 1997. And at the age of just 28, you were offered the position as CEO by Fjällräven's founder and mentor, Åke Nordin. Martin, your journey with Fjällräven is truly impressive. What was it like back in the days? How did it feel to take on such a responsible position so early in your career?
Yeah, it was absolutely interesting. So you're right. I was asked by the founder in a hut in the north of Sweden during Fjällräven Polar in 2004. That was more of a general question. Will you be ready when the day comes? So it was not really a defined date or year. So in that time, it was more, you know, a philosophic question. And the reason to that was, or the background to that was, that Åke spent a lot of time with and on me in order to handle over his business philosophy, his product philosophy, his business experiences around the globe. So what happened already a year later, 2005, was that the previous CEO was actually passing away. And the solution in that time, even if it was very early in my age of 29, was to appoint me. So Åke told me after a hunt in 2005 that I will convince the board on Monday. This was Sunday, on Monday, and this is the way forward, and you will take over the lead of the company. He did that in an absolutely amazing manner, because what he did, he was the founder and the majority owner, and he stepped away completely and gave me a full mandate and gave me the full exposure immediately without coming in and taking any decisions for me. But of course, he was supporting me in the background and also directed me. So the answer to your question, how was that? It was stressful because so young, one of the youngest in the company in that time, with the highest mandate and the highest responsibility. But at the same time, the way Åke did it from a succession perspective was absolutely brilliant. Because not interfering, letting me doing a lot of mistakes, costly mistakes, mentally costly and monetarily costly, to learn. That was amazing because he had done the mistakes already by himself, but he let me do it again and learn from it. So that was a very interesting start. I got my first, or we, me and my wife, get our first son 2005, our daughter 2007, and our second son 2009. And this was, as you can imagine, during a period of time when everything happened at the same time. So very stressful, but I learned to deal with that, and heavily supported by both Åke and the family behind, meaning family Nordin, which is still the majority owner of the company.
Very exciting to hear that. So a lot happened during that time, 2005, 2007, and until 2009, and afterwards, of course, as well. You mentioned he gave you a lot of trust, but he also acted as a mentor and teach you his business philosophy. What would you say the typical things you learned from him that you prolonged now over the years as a CEO of Fjällräven?
First of all, Åke and the family Nordin has always been very long term, meaning that you will reach your goals or objectives over time, but let's not give up just because you hit some resistance or things are not working as fast as you expected. So you have to continue striving towards clear goals. And that has been one of the key, I think, success factors that you have. If you are the owner, majority owner, and you can look at a very long-term horizon, meaning that I want to achieve this, but I don't need to stress because we are not owned by short-term capital. We can strive step by step to become not the biggest, but the best in different areas. That's one part of what he was really pushing hard for. Then being unique, very important, not following books or trends or, short-term ideas, and doing things your own way has always been key. And that's something that most brands are trying to achieve, being unique, having their unique proposition or offer. Fjällräven is one of few brands, I think, that has maintained that over time, both in product identity and innovation, but also in the way we're working. So that's second thing I brought with me from the training or the period very close to Åke. Then business in general, you need to have a profitable business. You cannot run business without being profitable. And profitability is not a bad thing. That's something that makes you sustainable over time, where you can keep people in the organization, where you can develop the business, where you can do better in many different areas. So profitability comes high on the priority. Growth is important, but just growing for the sake of growth is not our model. We want to grow responsible and we want to grow profitable. So that's, if I bring up three things, that's kind of the key elements. And then, things like you better do it today, tomorrow it might be too late, meaning not waiting for others to do things, simple things, but very like standard for Mr. Nordin himself. You do it today, take decisions, move forward, all those things, typical entrepreneurial ways of working. I have brought that with me and I have tried to implement that over time. But one thing which I remember strongly from the early discussions, 2004, 2005, in particular 2005, was that now I have, this was quote Åke and Nordin, I have told you and taught you everything I know and can, but now you have to do it your way. Don't copy me. Don't try to be me. You have to do it your way, in a new way for a new generation. So that was kind of his key message when he handed over.
Yeah, thanks so much for giving this overview on the very core elements of his philosophy and how you in your personal way prolong them in your doing. So let's look in the future. Let's say in 30 years time from now, where and what are you contributing with Fjällräven? What would you like for people to remember about you in the future?
Wow, that's a big question. I mean, now I've been in charge for 20 years. Very soon I've been running it as head of the brand for soon 20 years, which is a third of the company's life. Going forward, another 30 years, I hope that people will remember me as a person that has put a lot of trust in people, a person that has inspired people to do their utmost in order to create great products and develop business globally and taking responsibility when doing it. I hope we will, in that time, still have a company which is famous for its trustworthiness and its responsibility and its great products that are used forever. So my ultimate goal is that everyone that is working at Fjällräven is doing whatever it takes to make the best possible gear that is used as long as possible, not only because it's durable, but because you love the product. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Talking to people using our products, I hope that in 30 years from now on, our products that they purchase today are still in use and they love them. And they maybe use them themselves or handle it over to a second or a third generation or sold it to someone else on the secondhand market.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the functionality and the durability of the Fjällräven products, a core element of your sustainability commitment, right?
Yes. I think most outdoor brands are doing a fantastic job nowadays in terms of choosing the right fabrics, doing a good job phasing out chemicals, doing a good job when it comes to social responsibility, building up all kind of smart solutions when it comes to minimizing impact, all from how we use supply chain, transportations, electricity, water, whatever it takes in order to do as low impact as possible. But for me, use is key. And regardless if you do a fantastic product with all those components and elements, and regardless if you do products that are durable and very functional, people need to love the product. Because it makes no sense if you just buy the goods and put it in your wardrobe because you want another color next year or another style next year. My aim, together with my great team, is to do products that people fall in love with and use and create memories together with. Then you use them and you keep them. And that's kind of the what I see as key when it comes to lowering impact, truly lowering impact, not only in supply chain, but actually in use and really, 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 really using the product over time. Because then you also put in efforts to prolong life by, you know, cleaning when you need to clean, you impregnate, you can reinforce, you also repair your product. You spend time with your products rather than just, oh shit, I it's broken. Let's throw it away and buy something new. Or it looks broken. I don't like that. I want something new. In our case, that's patina. That's something that makes the product even better. And therefore, we put a lot of efforts into making products easy to repair and products that is easy to maintain. And you can keep it in use for a very long time, connecting to it.
Yeah. So a prerequisite to fall in love with the products and have this deep connection with the Fjällräven products.
Yeah, emotional longevity is key. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Martin, you have led Fjällräven through a period of strong global growth over the years now. And at the same time, you maintained the core mission of the brand, which is to enable and inspire more people to spend time in nature while leaving the base camp in a better shape than we found it. What does this mean to you personally?
Great sentences written way back. I think it's easy to stay true to them, because leaving the base camp in a better shape, that applies on everything we do, in production, in supply chain, at different sites we enter with whatever kind of event we do, or at retail or any kind of activity. We can do a job to leave that in a better shape. That's a simple thing. When it comes to inspiring people and bringing people out and having them walk with nature, as we claim, it's about not only talking about inspiring people to get out, which is easy to say, but actually do it by simplifying or facilitating the step. Because still there is so many people that wants to get out, but they cannot really, because there is, how much food do I need? Where do I get water? How do I get there from an infrastructure perspective? What do I need in my backpack? Are there, you know, dangerous animals or weather conditions or whatever? So we try to organize events across the globe that helps people to actually get out and really experience nature. And when they do, and here comes what I try to refer to as walk with nature, is when you walk with and in nature, you also understand how fragile it is. So you take care of it. You pick up litter. You actually leave your camp in a better shape, because if you find something, you clean it. And we use the Swedish allemansrätten as like the key role for being outdoors. And Swedish allemansrätt, the right to roam, is fantastic, because you have the right to be in nature and enjoy nature as long as you follow the two rules: don't disturb and don't destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. But then you need to follow that, and you need to practice that. And we use that, and we educate people, and we inspire people to just follow those two rules. And it works perfectly well. So in the end of the day, when we take people out in nature and walk with nature, I know that they, first of all, get a better experience for themselves. They get inspiration to be out there, and they very, very quickly understand that I can do this by myself. I don't need Fjällräven for this. I can do this myself anywhere. But first time, it's great to be with us, because we can help and we can inspire and we can guide. And then I also believe that a lot of people are also seeing that, yeah, if I treat nature in a proper way, avoiding disturbance and destroying, then we can enjoy. Humans can enjoy nature in a great way.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing this since 2005, when that was the time when the first Fjällräven Classic was launched, right?
Correct. We are soon celebrating 20 years. It was actually 2004. So we are celebrating 20 years. So that's great. That's something which means that we have brought out, I haven't consolidated the numbers, but we have brought out tens and thousands of people across the globe on different trails. And they, in their term, have continued their outdoor life across the globe. So we have like 70% are new beginners every year. So that's kind of the rotation. And so it serves its purpose, absolutely.
Yeah, and they have not been in contact with this nature experience so far, and they get now this first experience, and as you explained, they are motivated and have the trust that they can be out in nature on their own as well, and do these experiences in the future to come as well, with friends and family on their own, maybe.
That's our goal, absolutely. So they, most of them, find it also, I mean, it's nice to be with other people. You meet the ton of different cultures. Like, we have 35, 40 different nationalities on the trail, and that's fantastic in itself. But many of them are just, you know, participating and getting some kind of first ignition of how outdoor life can be. And then when you have pitched your tent a couple of times, you have cooked your food, and you feel confident, You do it yourself. So that's the ultimate goal. And I see a lot of those examples every year. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people are then just doing it themselves, alone or with family or friends. So it's a good platform.
Really cool. So in this year, there is a Fjällräven Classic taking place in Sweden, one in Denmark, in Korea, in Germany, in UK, in Chile, and in the United States.
Correct.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's super. And it's such a great way of, you know, talking about what we stand for and how Sweden is seeing being in nature and how we can walk in nature together, regardless of country and conditions.
How many classics have you actively participated in already? Do you remember?
Too few when it comes to geographically spread, but I have done the Swedish one many, many times, partly or full distance, fast or slow. For me, it's the highlight of the year. And the thing is that Fjällräven originates from that region. When Åke started, he was testing a lot of gear and also cooperating a lot with the same people when it comes to product development and finding out how to carry heavy weights in the best possible way. So the brand originates from that region, starting in Nikkaluokta, going up to Abisko, fantastic part of the King's Trail. So I love that trail, that region. It's so much, you know, trekking, Swedish trekking, and it's so much Fjällräven. So I try to be in that the Swedish Classic every year and meeting colleagues, a lot of our dear users that are participating, and also a lot of retailers that are selling our goods. And it's just a fantastic place to be for me. And then we have, easy access to Denmark, you have Germany, UK. Chile is a bit of a challenge given the distance. My plan is to participate now in the upcoming event in December. So that will be probably a new experience, definitely.
Such a dream location as well. So, but I can hear that probably the because of the heritage as well, the Sweden Fjällräven Classic is your favorite one.
It is, because I'm also very proud of, you know, welcoming a lot of people to the Swedish mountains and the wilderness Sweden offers. It is, I speak to a lot of, you know, mountain guides that are guiding across the globe, and they are always coming back to Sweden and the Swedish mountain range is rare, given that you don't have any infrastructure. You can be out for days and not seeing any lights from any houses or any infrastructure, any roads. It's silent and you're really remote, so that makes a big difference to the experience.
There's so many emotional moments as well on a longer day hike like this. Can you share with us your most memorable stories or something that is still in mind?
To be honest, I think I have experienced so many things, meeting people from different parts of the world, young families with kids like a couple of years old, fighting through with such a great mindset. But probably one of the strongest is a colleague that I experienced this through a colleague, to be honest, who was waking up. She was waking up in her tent and she woke up by seeing a couple of Arctic foxes, meaning Fjällräven is Arctic fox in English. Arctic foxes playing around on distance, and they are so rare. Most people never see them. So that's kind of probably one of the strongest experiences I have through someone else, that she had the opportunity to wake up and see Arctic foxes playing on short distance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And is there something you have also learned personally from such a trail? Something that makes you a stronger person, a better leader? Is there something you take from the trails as well?
I think Fjällräven is not about being the fastest or competing from A to B. I have been, and I am a very competitive person, doing things as fast as possible many times. Classic, Fjällräven Classic, takes down the pace and you start to experience rather than competing. It's not about fast, it's about experience. I think that's something, and also it's, you know, you have your goals and you put in place some kind of mindset that you don't rush, but you have a clear goal of actually moving forward. So it's, I think that's kind of the key takeaway, that it's not always about speed. It's also about how you do it and what you do during your journey. So that's good for as a human, but also from leadership and from running a company. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Because it really caters for the basic needs we all humans have, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And competition might be one aspect, but there are also other aspects.
It is, yeah. Many of them. And I think you get that truly. You're also off the grid, so no connection. It's a white spot, so you're not even connected. You cannot check anything for a couple of days. So you're out of connection, which is also rare in the world today, but it's kind of relieving in many ways. It's just you and nature and friends.
But within the Fjällräven Classic, still in a safe and guided frame, so to speak.
Absolutely. I didn't mention that, but we have checkpoints that doesn't really, you know, you don't need to, they don't interfere on your experience. It's just a place you pass and you get a stamp in your small booklet. You can get a coffee or you can get something. We have, among others, we have one station where you can get some pancakes, which is highly appreciated. But it's not about, you know, it's more a passive security and service where if you're running out of food or running out of gas, they can supply you. They can give you strong advice. But most important to me with those checkpoints are the people meeting you. They are absolutely phenomenal in terms of giving you inspiration. If you have a blister or if you have a hurting knee or whatever, after passing those checkpoints, you don't feel it anymore because those people are absolutely, I don't know, but they have some kind of power that few people have. They just give you energy to a very high extent.
And Fjällräven Classic, it can be very transformational for the participants. You mentioned that there's around 7% newies to each classic.
70. Yeah. So yeah, you have 30% that is coming back, like, and some of them are coming back for 10 and 15 years, but then 70 is kind of new, yeah, every year.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay. That's an even a bigger dimension then.
Oh, yeah.
And do you get any feedback from participants how the Fjällräven Classic has impacted their lives and the connection to nature? And is that something that also drives you to bring that format, to scale it in the future?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we try to run service and see how we can become better or how the experience can be improved. And if we see any, you know, issues with how nature is impacted, etc. But one thing that is clear is that people really enjoys the fact that you can, during the day, you can be pretty alone, but in the camps, you, and it's your choice, but many people are choosing to actually stay close to others, stay together and share their experiences and having a close connection to a lot of people that knows more than yourself, and they're all willing to share. So you learn a lot. So I would say the learning, and not only learnings about how to pitch your tent best or how to cook your food fastest, it's also about how other people are from different cultures, and people seems to really enjoy that get together thing and meeting people from different parts of the world.
So I hear that there is also a strong social dimension to that format.
I would say so. Yeah. You know, Sweden is known for trekkers that trekking with heavy backpacks for 2 weeks and they're completely alone and then they go back home and that's it. This is a different approach where you choose, and you can choose to be very low, alone during the day. But again, coming back to the social part seems to play a very important role in those events. Otherwise, you can choose to go 1 week later or 2 weeks later. But many people are coming to this in order to also enjoy it together with others and sharing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Many say that the outdoor industry has this ability to support the transition to a more sustainable lifestyle. Do you see this happening with the Fjällräven Classic as well?
I think the fact that people are in nature and learning how fragile it is and how you can impact positively by acting responsible, I think that makes a lot of sense. Also, choosing gear that is, I'm not just talking about Fjällräven gear, but good gear from the outdoor industry. I think that makes sense. It is something that, instead of choosing short-term fragile stuff, people learn that they need durable products, they need functional products, gear that withstands true outdoor use. I think that's good for the environment long-term and nature long-term. So regardless if it is a Fjällräven product or any other brand, as long as it is from us in the true outdoor industry, meaning true outdoor brands that knows the deal, I think that's good. That has a positive impact.
Sounds a bit to me like too good to be true. I mean, so many positive aspects. Is there any challenge or any negative impacts maybe stemming from the events where you say, okay, this is an area where we want to improve in the future?
You can, of course, question having 2,000 people flying in from right, left, and center across the globe. That has negative impact. Transportations by helicopters, potential littering, potential tearing down some of the trails, etc. There are a couple of things that we need to consider and always considering. Spreading out starting groups over many days to not become too condensed. I think it is important to have those aspects in mind. And we have done a lot in order to become much better. So there are a couple of things to consider, absolutely. But in the end of the day, all the positives I have mentioned, we believe is trumping the negative parts and the negative parts we are dealing with. Compensating for the transportations and making sure that we offer a pure train transportation to the north instead of using flights and minimizing flying and all those kind of things that can take down. But at the same time, we want people to get out, and true wilderness is usually on far distance from big cities.
And you have your trail ethics as well, you mentioned the littering, so people can on the trail as well. If they find trash on the trail, if they should, they can put it in their trash bag.
Correct.
And you have a lot of workshops around sustainability and how to act right in nature.
True that. Yeah, we take the opportunity to. We don't try to. I mean, most people know a lot about how to behave and how to act responsible, but we give some inspiration in some areas in order to, I hope is giving more, inspiration around doing even better. You know?
What we haven't talked about is the Polar experience, because that is also one Fjällräven event.
True that, yeah.
What makes it so special? And how often have you participated in it, Martin?
Many times, yeah. Again, I first time was 90, 98 or 99. So I have done plenty of them. As I said, I was asked to take over to run Fjällräven 2004 during Fjällräven Polar, actually.
And that was during Polar, not during the Kungsleden trail, but
no,
during
it
Polar.
It was during Polar, exactly. So it was winter time in April 2004. So it means a lot personally. Fjällräven Polar is a very different event where we bring 20 people out into a very remote, very, very challenging environment, a subarctic climate, which is super challenging. Very, very few people are getting into this area due to the challenges. It's north of the Arctic Circle. And as you might know, above the Arctic Circle worldwide, not more than 1 million people actually live permanently. And this is even further north. This is 200-300 kilometers north of the Arctic Circle. So it's very much in the north. We are starting in Jukkasjärvi and we're going up to the Arctic Sea Norwegian coast to a place called Signaldalen. So it's a fantastic journey. But the uniqueness is that we travel by dog sleds. So each participant is getting fully equipped with the gear you need for Arctic conditions. And then they get a sled, and they also get to know six fantastic friends, Alaskan Huskies, which are of course very used to these conditions and very used to meet new people, but they become like your best friends during the 5 days of where the event takes place. And then you get into something which is very unique. Most of the people are super new to outdoor activities, but particularly completely new to being outdoors during winter time. And we talk about a time of the year when temperatures are dropping down to 25, 30 minus degrees in the nights. It's April, beginning of April, and it's kind of, for many people, almost impossible to be there, to live there, and sleeping there without any heating. Most people do not believe it's possible. So we prove that ordinary people are able to become experts in a couple of days with the right equipment and, most important, the right education and guidance. And with the right mindset, you can also travel like 350 kilometers with your friends and in close cooperation with six dogs, you can do fantastic things. And then you are in team with two. So you're meeting someone that you haven't met before, and you do this together in a team. So it's, again, it's a way of showing that nature is fragile, but it's also fantastic, even wintertime, in the harshest conditions, if you behave properly and if you're well-educated and use the right stuff.
Yeah, thanks for showcasing this. I really have goosebumps. can imagine it must be a fascinating experience, and probably for probably all participants, really a life-changing journey.
That has huge impact on people. I have to say that we have seen people leaving their... I'm not saying I'm proud of that. Some have even divorced, but that's the case. That's terrible to say, but that has happened. And some people have left their jobs and they have moved up there, and you know, start to work in that industry or just being close to this nature. But most people are, of course, going back home with just a new experience for their life, and very, very emotional, because it creates so much feelings and experiences. And you're again off grid, no connection. It's just you and the nature, and some very strong friends.
Mm-hmm. So a really sustainable impact.
True that. Yeah, for sure.
What about looking now maybe at the Fjällräven Classic, so not the Polar? Are there any practical tips you want to give? Any when it comes, we talked about products, the quality of products, having the right gear. Is there something you can recommend to take the most out of these from this trail? Maybe something in preparation as well, or afterwards to reflect maybe on the event or this.
I mean, as usual, when it comes to more remote activities where you're depending on yourself, you should, of course, not jump into a brand new pair of hiking boots and pitch your tent first time out of the bag, or, you know, using your backpack first time at the trail. Yeah, I would spend some time and visit some of the great stores available, Globetrotters and other stores with super experienced staff that can help you to adjust your bag and find your right boots, which is fitted for your feet, and also, you know, helping you to get the right advice. So that's kind of a key. I think that's key in order to have a comfortable journey instead of struggling with blisters or struggling with a backpack that is too long in the back or too short. It's all backpacks nowadays are adjustable in one way or another, and you with the right help from the great staff, you will easily have a comfortable journey. Then I think it's also important to, during the trail, to not forget to drink and eat. It's easy to say, but a lot of suffering comes from that you're losing water in a way that you're not used to, and you forget to drink because it is a little bit uncomfortable to do, and you have to fill up your... In Sweden, it's easy. Any river, you just take the water. In other places, you have to clean the water or boil the water and those kind of things. But I think that brings so much to the experience. If you feel alert and hydrated, dehydration is so easy to run into, and then you have headache and you're slow and you're getting irritated and those kind of things. So hydration and taking water from the streams means that you're drinking melted water from glaciers and snow, zero minerals. So you need to add a little bit of salt or a little bit of any kind of, you know, sports drink or whatever into that, so the water becomes a little bit of otherwise it just passes through. And one advice which is super important, and I know that the same people are educating their kids that way: never drink the water straight from the stream, because it's 4 degrees. So when you drink that water, it takes away so much energy. So you better take the water from the stream, put it on your backpack, and let it warm up a little bit before you drink. Otherwise, it takes out more than it gives. So just small advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but very, very practical, but super important advice.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So that's a few things from my side. I have plenty of them. When it comes to reflecting after, I think being part of a Fjällräven Classic, regardless of country, first of all, bring home and share culture experiences. I think the world need that. We are going into so many... I mean, you have leaders in the world today that are trying to separate people and separate cultures and building borders and polarizing the world. I think that's something we can really contribute to when coming back home, spending time with all kind of cultures, bring that home and work against that polarization. You know, you can actually impact that by using the experience. Mm-hmm. And then also leave the base camp, meaning leave trails, leave camping sites, leave fireplaces in a better shape than you found it. I think that's something to really bring with you regardless. So then things becomes better everywhere.
Martin, thank you so much for these explanations, for giving practical tips, also your personal experience you're sharing with us. And dear listeners, if you're now excited to as well participate in the Fjällräven Classic, then do so. Go on the Fjällräven website. I believe, though, that all tickets are sold out, if I'm not mistaken, for this year, though.
Unfortunately or fortunately, yes, they are quickly sold out. But, I mean, as I said from the beginning, this is not a competition. It doesn't matter if you do it this year or next year, it's still there. The mountains are and the nature is available. So let's attend another year.
Yeah, that's the beauty of nature.
Absolutely.
It is there and we should protect it.
Absolutely.
Martin, thank you so much for taking the time and being on our show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Dieser Podcast wird produziert von Podstars bei OMR.